Welcome to In the Hive. I'm Roger McDonough. Today on the show, we're going to feature a conversation with the head of the organization Better Boundaries. They're the group that got a ballot initiative passed in 2018 to create an independent redistricting commission in Utah. It was one of three initiatives that passed in 2018. The other two initiatives, one creating a program for medical marijuana and one that would have instituted full Medicaid expansion in the state, were significantly changed by lawmakers, raising questions about overriding the will of voters. But Proposition 4, the initiative that created a seven-member commission to recommend how political districts and boundaries are drawn after the 2020 census, has survived unscathed until now. It turns out that lawmakers and Better Boundaries have been in talks for months to try to come to an agreement over what changes to Proposition 4 might look like. Late last week, it emerged that those talks had broken down, as Better Boundaries said lawmakers were set to repeal the plan. But then, yesterday, UtahPolicy.com broke the news that a deal had been struck, one that would allow lawmakers to substantially alter the plan at this year's legislative session. So, what's at stake? What does the New Deal mean for how district maps will be drawn for congressional seats and school board districts and local elections? Yesterday, after news of a deal broke, I sat down with Rebecca Chavez-Hauck, Executive Director of Better Boundaries, to learn more. Rebecca Chavez-Hauck, Executive Director of Better Boundaries, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Your organization has been negotiating with state lawmakers because legislators are hoping to make some changes to Proposition 4, and that is the ballot initiative that passed in 2018. This is probably a lot to ask, but I'm hoping you can remind us what the original initiative did, and then we can kind of jump into the sort of breaking news on this. The basics, the purpose of the Better Boundaries Proposition 4 initiative was what?
Okay, so the purpose of it is to convene or allow for a commission, an independent advisory redistricting commission, to be convened. Seven members would be appointed by the state legislature, equally split among the minority and the majority in this way. So you have two members that are selected from the majority party leadership.
Okay.
Two members that are selected by the minority party leadership, one unaffiliated member that is selected by the majority party leadership, and one unaffiliated member selected by the minority party leadership. So we've got, you've got the three and three, and then the last person, this last seventh member, would be the chair, and the chair is appointed by the governor, regardless of party, and the governor can pick regardless of party on there. There's no requirement as to who the governor would pick either way.
Okay. And then this commission would be charged with drawing maps to make recommendations to the legislature.
Right.
About how our political districts' boundaries should be and school boards, et cetera. What are the other?
Right. Yeah. So the jurisdictions that they would draw maps for include the congressional districts and state legislative districts, both Senate and House, and then the state school board, which is that is the appropriate work of the state legislature. And then the commission would actually be doing this in an advisory capacity, drawing these maps, taking certain standards into consideration, and then providing those maps. They've requested the legislature would like to see three maps of each of those jurisdictions presented to them for their consideration.
Okay. And then it would require, under the original language of the proposition, a supermajority was needed to approve these maps. So you'd have to have four of the seven members of the commission saying, we endorse what these maps are.
Actually five.
Oh, sorry.
So five of the seven actually would need to be, that is a majority, but a supermajority would be required is what was in the original language of the five out of seven. And that was, so there would be some intentionality of trying to get, one of the unaffiliated members from the other side or another member from the other side to agree to a map. The proposed language that we have is a little nuanced. We've got a situation where the three maps will be presented. One needs to be the five out of seven. The others can be an iteration of at least one of those two needs to take one of those unaffiliated members. There needs to be an unaffiliated. So if there's a GOP supported map, they need to have the support of the unaffiliated member of the other that was appointed by the other party
wow.
also weigh in. Again, really nuanced, but what we're trying to do, I guess the best way I would put it is there is still an effort to provide consensus, mm-hmm. a majority consensus on the maps that are moved forward, those three maps that would be moving forward to the legislature.
And this, again, we're starting to jump into the kind of potential changes mm-hmm. to Proposition 4 under this negotiation that's been going on. And there have been reports of a deal struck this mm-hmm. week as part of that. Changes, as you said, to the way maps would be recommended to the legislature. Also, some changes to how people get appointed. Mm-hmm. Is that correct? Are there actually changes in this draft proposal in the way that these members of the commission are appointed?
So no, actually, the 7-member independent redistricting advisory commission is appointed by the governor, and that's probably the one that could likely be of the majority party and House and Senate leadership. So we have the 4 members that are appointed by the majority party, assuming the governor is a member of the majority party, and 3 commission members appointed by the minority party, which is what way it was in Prop 4.
Okay, so that doesn't sound like big changes on mm-hmm. that, again, kind of complicated, weedy language. Also, under the original language of Proposition 4 was a requirement that lawmakers explain why they didn't take a commission's proposed map. So if they discard what was proposed by this commission, mm-hmm. they would have to explain it. That, I understand, is gone?
Yes, that the prescriptive language that said that they had to provide an explanation to the public is gone. However, we still have the opportunity for transparency and accountability in that the commission will present the maps to the legislature in a public meeting of the Legislative Redistricting Committee. So they have the Legislative Redistricting Committee, and then the commission brings the maps. So they will lay out those maps. They will go through back and forth with the legislature answering questions as to how they drew the maps. So there will be that opportunity for accountability, but the legislature can then either take those maps or choose not to, or make maps of their own accord without needing to justify it in either way, to either making it accountable on their part, the legislator's part, yeah. of accountability to the standards or not.
Okay, which is a change. Mm-hmm. From what I understand, one key sticking point in the negotiations between your organization, Rebecca Chavez-Hauck, mm-hmm. and lawmakers had to do with some language in the voter-approved proposition that said that maps couldn't be drawn to unduly favor or disfavor any incumbent candidate or political party. The shorthand there is that the maps couldn't be drawn with the aim of gerrymandering.
Right.
Is that key language going to stay as a part of this deal that is in the works or is maybe getting inked pretty soon?
Yeah, so, right now what we have in terms of the proposed changes, and this is why we were willing to come to the table, is a willingness on the part of the legislature to make it, as I mentioned previously, prescriptive instead of permissive. So it says the commission shall define and adopt redistricting standards to the extent practicable and comply with the following, which is prohibiting the purposeful or undue favoring or disfavoring of an incumbent elected official, a candidate or a prospective candidate for elective office, or a political party. Hmm. So it does prohibit the purposeful or undue favoring. And that is they shall adopt the standards that include these and comply to the extent practicable. So it is in there as a shall versus they may decide to use this or not.
Okay. And again, we're talking about the commission members, mm-hmm, that mm-hmm. that the commission itself has to draw maps that aren't
favorable. Mm-hmm.
But then again, just because it is, yes, and has always been
an advisory commission,
they can discard it.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. In media time on Wednesday, House and Senate leadership were kind of scant on details mm-hmm. of all of this, and they said that they were waiting for bill language before mm-hmm. talking openly about it. But I do have this clip of Senate President Stuart Adams, and mm-hmm. this is Wednesday afternoon in media availability. He's talking about what he saw as a core issue with the proposition itself, the mm-hmm. Better Boundaries Proposition, mm-hmm. Prop 4. Take a listen, and then I'm going to ask just for your response, if that's okay.
We're trying to be collaborative. We're trying to be thoughtful. We're trying to make this work, but it's pretty clear the Supreme Court has said that the legislatures have responsibility for redistricting. The process, not only because of the Supreme Court ruling, the United States Supreme Court, but because of our own state constitution, the initiative that was passed, as Senator Vickers has indicated, was unconstitutional. We had to do something, and I think we're landing at a pretty good spot.
So, Rebecca Chavez-Hauck, Executive Director of Better Boundaries, do you want to respond to Senate President Stuart Adams there?
So President Adams, I believe, is referring to the Supreme Court ruling in Rusho v. Common Cause. And within that ruling issued by the Supreme Court, they said that gerrymandering is not reviewable under the U.S. Constitution, and the federal courts decided they weren't going to rule into that. However, this ruling does not affect the ability of states to establish their own redistricting rules, and it does not prevent state courts from finding that a redistricting plan violates the state constitution or a state-enacted redistricting requirements. And that's why the requirements for us are so important. So if we look, for example, at the state court in North Carolina, mm-hmm. just struck down legislative district maps as violating that state's constitution. So you can take these cases through the state Supreme Courts. And so the other thing that I would add to that is actually, and this is our argument as to why Prop 4 never has been and is not unconstitutional, is that the Supreme Court's ruling underscores the need for Prop 4 in Utah. And what I'll do is reflect on Chief Justice Roberts' opinion when he issued the ruling in Rusho. He pointed to state-level reforms such as those enacted by Prop 4, independent redistricting commissions, and bans on partisan gerrymandering as a preferred avenue for addressing gerrymandering. So, you know, Chief Justice Roberts said this is a mechanism that states can use in order to alleviate concerns related to partisan gerrymandering, is using commissions like this and having standards that are prescriptive.
I mean, and they are commissions that that are interacting with the legislature, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're there to present recommendations to them. I mean, right. In this instance.
Right. Okay. And, you know, if we look, and again, that's the way we interpret it. So we, you know, stand on our legal interpretation of what that particular ruling presents in terms of actually the opportunity. You know, I guess the question I would have for the legislators is, isn't it more important than ever to preserve Prop 4 and to have those accountability factors related to nonpartisan gerrymandering?
Hmm. There's commentary out there, including from Alliance for Better Utah, which advocates for progressive policies here in Utah, suggesting that this compromise deal does, in fact, get rid of language requiring that districts aren't drawn in a way to that amount to gerrymandering. Does it, I mean, is there any doing away with the requirement that they aren't drawn in?
Right. So the Prop 4 establishes, you know, we have in the current law that the legislators would have to follow the standards, and they are not going to be bound to that. But again, that's why we wanted the commission to be bound to it. Our preference, obviously, is to have the legislature bound by the same standards as the commission.
Yeah. And that was part of Prop 4?
That was part of Prop 4. So part of Prop 4 is that the legislature also had to be bound by these standards. But we were not able to get that to stay in the proposed law. And, you know, that is something that we wish we would have been able to hold on to. And, you know, what I will also reiterate is we always had a repeal looming over our head. I mean, they say that they weren't threatening repeal, but we know the realities of policy development in the state. And
well, we've seen these other propositions that have been massively altered.
Mm-hmm. And I would just say I'm glad that they're moving forward to establish a commission and that there will be some standards that are binding on the commission.
Can I ask, I mean, are we getting further and further away from the original intent of what Proposition 4 meant to do, which was to prevent gerrymandering?
Yeah.
I mean, and is it possible that the commission could provide some cover to the legislature to do the opposite of what you want it to do?
So what I would say is what we had last week definitely presented that scenario. And that's why we walked away from the table. We walked away from the table because at that point, we were concerned that the commission could be used to that device. And that's why it was so important for us to get some binding language related to the standards of not allowing them to draw maps that favor incumbents or favor a particular political party, and why we insisted that that had to be prescribed and not permissive. You know, we have to make sure that the commission is held to that higher standard, precisely because the legislature will not allow it to be bound itself to the standards. So the commission has to be bound to those standards.
I mean, are you asking for the public to get on board with these changes to Proposition 4? I mean, you've got organizations like Alliance for Better Utah coming out and saying it's been gutted. You don't agree with that. But why should the public get behind this deal?
So people may not be familiar with the fact that I ran legislation to establish a legislative independent redistricting commission, advisory redistricting commission, no less than six times on the Hill. Prior to that, the late Representative Roz McGee ran legislation to establish the commission. Before that, Senator Karen Morgan, who was then in the House, ran legislation. And I know that there have been multiple attempts to get an advisory redistricting commission on the books and get the drawing of maps initiated by individuals other than those who would have a vested interest in those districts being drawn. And what I will say is, being familiar with my own legislation, the bills that I have run, the commission that we have, if this bill goes through as revised, is better than what I had. Because the provisions related to the type of requirements and those standards, especially in regard to not taking into consideration partisan or incumbent concerns, were not a part of my legislation. I mean, this is the rigor that's in here is much stronger than what was present within previous attempts, at least the ones that I can speak to of those of my own concern. I was really just trying to get an independent commission starting to work and put together, but this is the bills that I have run previously are not as strong as this commission. So the way I look at it is, we have a commission. They will need to be held to account by the public. We at Better Boundaries will be holding them accountable. And I strongly encourage the public to, number one, participate in conversations and the meetings that the commission will hold, you know, God willing, if this moves through, and make sure that those maps that they draw pass muster, you know. And so, yes, I would say, given, I guess what we look at is we look at these iterations and these different gradations of where we were at and where we are presently. And if we look at 2010 and 2011 in that process with no commission, you know, efforts to try to get a commission established. And now we have a commission that has a binding language that requires it to not draw maps that favor individuals based on their political party or an incumbency. Then I think, yes, we've got a good commission. We've got a good start.
I have just a couple more questions, and one of them is, you know, assuming that this deal does go through, that we, you know, once we see bill language and it gets approved at the legislature, when will we see the commission making recommendations? When will we see those maps?
Right. So they are convened, and the commission itself is convened in the spring, and they review the data that comes from the U.S. Census. So that is going to be something that kind of triggers the whole process, is waiting for that data to arrive from the federal government of the census data. Then they begin doing public hearings throughout the state, and they need to complete those public hearings by August the 1st. Mm-hmm. And then they need to put their maps together and provide those maps somewhere about the middle of September. So by mid-September, they will be making those presentations to the Legislative Redistricting Committee as to what their recommended maps are for the various districts.
And I would imagine that Better Boundaries and other organizations would urge people to participate in the census. How important is that?
It is so important to participate in the census. And as we move this process forward, to please participate in those public hearings that the commission will be holding, to weigh in, to have those discussions about what communities of common interest mean to them, because that's a new standard that wasn't present in previous commissions or previous work that has been done in redistricting. And so that is for the communities to help the commission define.
And it might mean, you know, the neighborhood of Sugar House, or it might mean who knows.
Right. Yeah. There's a variety of ways to look at communities of common interest, but the commission's going to be looking to the public to determine that in the best way possible. So it is so crucial for the public as we move this process forward to interact with the commission, provide that input so that they can be as accountable as possible to the public.
How is the commission being funded?
So this is also part of what the agreement would provide, is that the legislature will provide an appropriation of $1 million to the commission to be able to conduct their work.
Okay. Is there anything we're missing, Rebecca? I mean, obviously, we're waiting for bill language. Yeah. When do you expect to see that? I mean, we're recording on Wednesday, I should say, at about 3 p.m. Mm. The deal is going to be announced this morning by the time listeners are listening to this Thursday morning. When will we know that the deal is final?
We will be joining legislative leadership in announcing the provisions of the deal on Thursday. And so look forward to then moving forward the legislation through the legislative process and getting it signed by the governor. And again, feeling very aspirational, looking aspirationally to the work of the commission and holding it accountable as it begins to do its work going forward.
Is there anything else you want to add here, Rebecca? We have a couple more minutes of time before I have to wrap up the show. But in terms of what it means to, you know, negotiate, how difficult these negotiations can be, just anything that occurs to you?
So I guess, you know, the one thing that I would bring up is what we're trying to do is provide a commission that will do its level. Our hope is its level best, but that's why we have the standards present in it on behalf of the citizens and the voters of Utah. And we believe we have that with the revisions if they're approved and if this ends up passing in its revised language. And there's going to need to be a lot of focus and commitment on the part of commissioners. And so I'm reminding people that, you know, the legislators will be selecting those commissioners. But if it's something that members of the public are interested in putting themselves forward, then I would encourage them to contact, you know, legislative leaders and say this is something that they're interested in doing. There's no restrictions other than the fact that they can't be serving as a lobbyist, or they can't be a party official, or they can't be obviously an elected official at the time of them being on the commission. So, you know, I would encourage people to consider putting their name forward if this is something that speaks to them, and if they want to weigh in this process, and if they have the talents. You know, there's a lot of work that goes into understanding like GIS data and all of these things. What a wonderful opportunity I would like to put forth is that there's such a wonderful opportunity for the public to actually serve on the commission and set themselves forward as individuals that could be appointed as commissioners.
Can I tell you that I would be scared that it would devolve into a partisan fight? I mean, this is why I think having that shall not draw maps based on I mean, is Better Boundaries worried about the commission becoming a place where that partisan fight happens? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. You know, I would hope that, number one, having this work being done transparently in the light of day, that there's supposed to be a website where the commission puts forth information about the work that they do, about the maps, and really reiterating the importance of the public coming to those meetings and weighing in on the work that is done. I mean, they're doing the work in front of the public, so they need to, I guess the best way I would put it is be on their best behavior.
Because of the public scrutiny.
Yeah, the public scrutiny, I think, is going to be the biggest and most important thing that we need to continue to move forward and keep pressure on the commission and then subsequently the legislature.
Last question. Do you wish that none of these changes were necessary?
Oh, most certainly. I mean, and that's why I reiterate over and over again that Prop 4 is constitutional. And we would definitely love to be in a different place. We would love to be, you know, moving forward with it not being changed at all. But we know that repeal is always an imminent threat. And so what we're trying to do is hold the commission in place as best we can and affording it the opportunity to survive and to do good work.
Rebecca Chavez-Hauck, Executive Director of Better Boundaries, I really appreciate you making the time for this.
Okay, thank you.
So what happens next? Better Boundaries and lawmakers will hold a press conference today, Thursday, and a bill will be filed to institute the changes that Rebecca Chavez-Hauck just finished describing. That deal then has to pass the legislature for it to go into effect. However, if the new deal isn't approved in the remaining 2 weeks of the session, Prop 4 will stand, but it will almost certainly face another repeal effort next year. Either way, new district maps based on 2020 census data won't be drawn up until after the 2021 legislative session. That does it for In the Hive here on KCPW, a listener-supported independent public radio resource. You can find podcasts of this and all of our local programs at our website, kcpw.org, or just search for KCPW in whatever podcast app you use. Our theme music is by Andrew Shaw. I'm Roger McDonough. Thanks again for joining. Both Sides of the Aisle is coming up next.